This podcast is a production of Bridges Church. Please visit us at www.bridgeschurch.net.
All right. Well, good morning, everybody. Good to have you in the room and good to have you online as well. Hey, if you have your Bible app, go ahead and open that up. If you have your Bibles, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, we're going to be there. And as we get started, just kind of a quick thing here. Luke, come on up too. If you guys remember, Luke is going to be stepping back from. Oh, we always do this to you guys. We always make it. I didn't tell him this in advance. So, but Luke will be stepping back. Next week's his last Sunday, and we are just been so blessed to have him with us. And he will tell his story next week. Most of you guys know he's going into police force to be a police officer as part of his calling to follow Jesus. So we've been so grateful for that. So next week is his last Sunday. This Friday will be his last worship night with us. We want you to come. And then also make sure you write a note to thank him, send him an email, do something next this time you see me, the Friday or Sunday, just to say thank you for pouring your life into us. He's done a tremendous job, and we're so grateful for that. And then one of the things that God's allowed him to do is to pour into Carson for the last 2 years. Carson has worship experience before he got here, but we're really seeing him grow over the last 2 years. Luke just, he said, this is where I see God working. This is where I believe that we should go as the next worship leader. So he's met with the elders, met with me. We've followed up, done all that stuff, put it out there to you guys. Heard only really just great positive things. And so we're excited about that. God just continues to work. So we just wanted to announce that. So Carson's official first day is October 1st, but they're going to worship lead together next week, and then he will start. So I wanted to pray for these guys. Will you guys just join me in prayers? We just turn this process over to God and continue to seek him. So let's pray together. Father God, I thank you for these two men that you brought to Bridges for your purposes, and you have gifted them. You have poured your spirit through them to us. They have led us in worship, led us before the throne, and you are in control. Father God, and you call us different places, and you have different seasons for us, and we are so grateful for having Carson to be able to step up. We're also so grateful that you brought Luke to us as well, and we just are excited what's next for both of these men and what you're going to do in their lives. So Father, we give them to you. We look forward to what you're going to do in the name of Jesus. Amen. All right, so make sure you do welcome Carson and thank Luke in the next couple of weeks. All right, thanks, guys. Now you know next service that I'm doing this, so you're good. All right. So today we're starting week 3 in our series that we're calling Finding Your Place in God's Story. So if you don't have the outline, you can use the QR code. You can find it on your phone as well through the app. But 1 Corinthians 12 is where we're going to end up. So there's a lot we're going to be talking about today. So if you have your Bibles, kind of just hang out there, all right? But we are talking today as we go through this, our GPS, which we've been going through each week. This week, we're going to talk about gifts. Next, we're going to talk about passion, what God has called you to, what like burns in your heart. And the last week of the series, we're going to talk about your story. So kind of get that in your mind as we go forward. I was working and researching on this on a Tuesday, not this Tuesday, the Tuesday before. And that's when I do, I kind of do most of my research though on Tuesday mornings. And I was sitting at our kitchen table, that's where I work out of the home, and these guys came to cut down a tree. And my thing was, well, I got to be home anyway, they're going to cut down the trees in our yard, and I'm going to work, okay? That was my plan. And we had this really big 3-foot in diameter tree in the front yard that had died. Something got hold of it and killed it. And we were in the house one day, and one of these big old limbs fell. We watched it fall onto the power lines right below it, bounce, and then all these sparks flew, and then it hit the ground, and the house thudded. And at that moment, some fear entered my life. It's like, if that fell on the power lines, we're in big trouble. So we called this group, and they brought their truck out, and on the back of the truck, they had this boom. So they're setting us all while I'm trying to work, okay? And they started to work, and I was like a little kid. I don't know about you guys, but I couldn't stand working in there. I kept looking around to see what they were doing. I finally said, I'll do this later. And I went out there in the carport for the next 2 hours and just stood there and watched in awe of what they did, okay? They had this boom truck that had this arm that reached over the power lines about 80 feet in the air, and it had a claw on it. And he would grab hold of these limbs, and then this saw would cut it off, and then he would gently take it over the power lines, like, you know, 80 feet up, and then over the power lines, put it on the ground where another guy would come with a different claw, and he would pick it up and throw it in the chipper. Now, again, I felt like I was 6. It's like, that is so cool. I'd love to have this job where you throw the, and it was like 20-inch branches like this, throwing the chipper in here, and then it all spits out chips, and it was so cool. And I just sat there and watched them. And then the next week, they brought a guy up who went up the tree. You ever watch these guys go up the tree? And it was just like, this is amazing. And I was going, this is so cool, because each one of them had a job. Now, the guy on the back of the truck, he had this remote control, like a robot thing, you know, like a little car. And he's standing there looking up like this, and I'm thinking, you have some spatial reasoning where you can stand down here, look up there, see where that claw is, and get it over the lines. But he also had some help from the guy in the bucket truck who was right next to him. He had this microphone on, and the whole time he's telling the guy, this is what you need to do. And you're a little bit too far off. And I thought, how do you see that? Like, he's doing all this math in his head without doing math. You know what I'm talking about? Some of you guys have that ability where you can look at something and go, you're like 6 inches off. And look at that angle and communicate that to a guy so he doesn't hit the power line, because then he's dead, right? I mean, think about this. And then there's another guy that had what I'll call the gift of anticipation, because he just knew exactly where the things were going to go, and he would go get the stuff and move it. And it's like he knew what they were going to do. They were such a team. And then the guy up in the tree, I don't know what this man would have done if this job didn't exist. I mean, he had the ability to climb a tree. I mean, kids have the ability to climb a tree. He went up there, and he's sitting on this limb, and it's going like this. You know what I'm talking about? And he cuts the branch off that he has to cut. You know what the limb does when you do that? It moves up. Not an inch of grab hold. It was just like, this is my life, you know, kind of thing. And he came right down. I go, I would pay to watch these guys do that. I mean, think about it. I spent 2 hours of my life, and in a way, I did pay. I paid a lot of money for them to do this. But I thought about, wouldn't it be fun to go travel around and just watch these guys? We could charge admission, invite all the neighbors, you know, charge $5. Come look at our yard and look what these guys are doing, because it was cool. We love to watch people use their giftedness, right? Now, some of you guys, you're here at the early service because today is football Sunday, right? And so your idea this afternoon, you're going to watch a group of gifted people play football, and people are going to pay thousands of dollars to watch people play football, and others are going to watch it on their TV and give up hours of our life, because we love to watch gifted people. We love to watch gifted musicians, right? Some of you are going to go to fairs over the next couple of weeks, and you'll go to the live performances, right? And you just love to watch people play their instruments and sing, and we love that, to see someone that's gifted. You love to watch people paint. You love to experience a good cook, right? Doesn't everybody enjoy a good cook? Don't you benefit from that? And you'll watch a show on TV, or you'll have someone in your house do it and go, wow, this is good. We just love this. And here's the other thing. If you're like most people, you want to be good at something, right? Don't you just want to be good at least one thing, to sit down and do something and step back at the end and go, I kind of like that. What I just did was good. Maybe it's your yard. And you get done. Does anybody else do this? You get done, you step in the, you know, off your property on somebody else, you go, I like that. It's all edge, it all looks good. After a good meal that you cook, don't you just love this idea? People loved it. Painting something, making numbers crunch. I don't understand, some of you guys love that, but you do. I mean, it's your thing. Engineers love the design. We love this idea of being gifted. And today I want to talk about that. And I really want to talk about two kinds of giftedness that God gives us. It fits really well with our book that we're reading. So I just want to talk about two kinds of giftedness that are on your outline, and how God has gifted us in this world. The first kind of giftedness that we all have, we need to think about this. Number one is they're called the first order gifts or natural abilities, right? Everybody's born with something, and they're called first order gifts or our natural abilities. People are just born with stuff. I was talking to someone the other day, and they said, they were talking about a little four-year-old was a musical prodigy. You know, some people are just born with that. I was not. I cannot keep rhythm, but you love it when little children come out and they can just do things. I heard about a guy who got a drum set when he was 5. He wasn't even big enough to hit the timpani at the top. He wasn't big enough to put his feet on the pedals, but he just loved to play the drums. People are born with all kinds of gifts, the gift of coordination, right? Athletic ability. Some people are just born with that. Some people are born with intelligence. Some people are born with just the ability to see things a certain way. God puts these things into our life, and they're called first order gifts or natural abilities. There was a man named Robert Frigel. He's a researcher and an author. He talks about how to operate in those areas. And he basically says at any time, we are operating in one of three categories. One thing he called the C zone. C stands for competent, capable, and confident. And when you're in your C zone, you're doing exactly what you were made to do. You know, you're just there, time passes, it comes easily for you. Maybe you have a job like that, maybe you have a hobby for that. You're just doing it because you would do it whether they paid you or not. You're just in the zone. Time stands still. And you go, I could do this all day. That's the C zone. There's also a zone called the panic zone. You know what the panic zone is? When you're operating in an area that you don't feel good in, where you're not qualified and you don't feel confident and you're like sweating big time and you're going, I just want this to be over. Whether it's a time of parenting where you're going, I don't have any answers at all. And you're starting to panic like I've tried everything I know, right? Or your job and you just get to a place where you go, I don't know how to figure this out. And the panic zone is where stress is, anxiety is. You ever heard of Peter's principle? Peter's principle is we rise to our highest level of incompetence. Maybe you've seen somebody before at your work where they're really good at a job, they're in their C zone, and somebody says, you're really good at this, we think you should move up. They do that job really, really well, and they move up even higher until they get to an area where they're not good. And that's where they get stuck, because they don't shine anymore, because they end up in the panic zone, and they get stressed out. The final zone is called the drone zone. The drone zone is simply this: you're bored, because you're underwhelmed. And you're not using your gifts and talents. You're going, God, why am I here? What have you got for me? And your job every day is like, this is boring. Or even your home life, there's got to be more. And so the drone zone is not where we want to operate, because God has gifted us in areas that we call first order gifts or natural abilities. He says, I want you to use those. Now, I told you to go to 1 Corinthians 12 and kind of keep your finger there. We're going to look at Genesis chapter 1, the very first book of the Bible, and I want you to kind of get this idea of where the natural gifts come from, all right? So in Genesis chapter 1, and in that, just get the picture, God's creating, he's speaking things into existence. Everything's there, but it's chaos, right? There's just things floating around, it's not together, there's no order to it, and God begins to put order to it, and then he creates human beings. In Genesis chapter 1, starting in verse 26, then he began to explain what his next part of the plan is. It says, then God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion or power or ability to rule over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over the livestock and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth, the things that we want to get rid of in our house, right? Even those things have a place. Next verse. So God created man in his own image. He said, just like I put everything in order, like the birds in the air and the fish are in the sea, animals on the land, and how the land separate from the ocean, I put everything in order, so I'm going to create man in my own image because I want him to do that too. Humankind, you're supposed to put things in order. In the image of God, he created him, male and female, he created them. So we all have a place in this mission of God. And then the next verse says, and God blessed them. He said, you're ready. My hand's on you. And he said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it and have dominion or over power or rule over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over every living thing that moves on the earth. So that's what God did. He said, here's the earth. Now I want you to do two things. I want you to be fruitful and multiply, like fill the earth, because there's only a small family. And I want you to subdue the earth or take care of the earth or rule over the earth. That's your two jobs. And then he gifted man to do it. So think about this. The first family created a bigger family. Soon that became a tribe. The tribe became society. Societies became culture. Culture became nations. I'm shrinking this all down, right? And the more complex it got, the more God needed people that were capable of putting that all together, right? Can you imagine if there were no rules? What if there were no engineers to design roads? How would we get along? We'd be driving into each other. What if there's no engineers to build cars? What if there are no architects to build houses or church facilities? I mean, God gifted people to say, as you get more complex, you're going to need more people speaking into it. You're going to get sick. We need people who are doctors. God gave those abilities to people as we filled the earth. And these natural abilities that we all have are designed to help us fulfill that role. And then he said, I want you to rule over the earth. So that's why we have farmers. That's why we have environmentalists. All going, okay, how do we take care of this creation God gave us? And all the gifts are given for us to be able to do that. It's called the first order abilities. So you have something in you that's designed to take care of the earth, to fill it and multiply and subdue it. Does it all make sense? So that's why you're part of God's creation. You have that ability. And a lot of people look at that and go, I am just here for this reason. One of the things I like to do is every month I get a copy of Our State magazine. I don't know if anybody else looks at it. It's a really good magazine. It talks about North Carolina. This last one was on the Blue Ridge Parkway, one of my favorite things, and specifically on park rangers. And every one of their stories, they either use the word calling or I was created for this. It's very, very interesting because I was studying this and go, that's exactly what a first order gift is. One of the people was in the Air Force, and he had just joined the Air Force, gotten married, and he and his wife drove down the Blue Ridge Parkway before they went in, and he goes, I'm supposed to be here. This is what I love. I love the mountains. I love the trees. This is where I fit. Now, some of you, it's the beach. Everybody right now, it's Winston-Salem, but he knew I'm supposed to be there. And so after he got out of the Air Force, he joined. He became a ranger, but you know what he loved? He loved birds. He loved birds. No one ever told him to love birds. He just loved birds. So he started carving birds, and he began to sell them, and people all over the state have his birds. And what he does as part of his job is he takes people on hikes and points out the birds. Now, some of you think that's, like, horrible. For him, it's like, this is what I was created for. One of the people they wrote about was a guy who, when he was a high school student, went to the counselor, and the counselor says, what do you like to do? He goes, nothing. There's nothing I like to do. Well, you must love something. I like fishing. She said, I have a job for you, park ranger. So he went to law enforcement school. He went off, became a park ranger. You know what he does? He goes fishing while he's out there. That's what he felt God would create him to do, and he has that calling. Then they had through one story. This is just a side story. I just had to share this. This is such a strange story. There was a lady named Tiny Broadwick. She was called Tiny because she was 4'9" and 79 pounds when she got grown up. In the 1908 State Fair here in North Carolina, she went up in a balloon and jumped out with a parachute, okay? I don't know if that's a ride. Can you imagine what that would be like? Go up and jump out. She's the first woman to ever jump out of a plane, and she jumped over 1,000 times. I don't know what kind of gifting this is. I'm glad I don't have it. But she had this gifting. She says, I feel close to God when I'm jumping. It's because you are close to God when you're jumping, right? You're about to go meet God. But that was her thing. And she used that to get people's attention, and she shared her story, but she said, that's my calling. What's your calling? What are you gifted to do? And here's the thing. God made us all gifted in some way to take care of the world and to fill it and multiply, but here's the problem, right? Sin came into the world, and people started using their gifts not for good but for themselves, right? From the very beginning, people with leadership gifts, instead of taking care of people, they began to manipulate people and began to build their own kingdoms instead of God's kingdom. People began to start businesses with the God-given gifts that they had and began to just focus on money instead of what God put them there for. And money took their heart away from what God wanted them to do. And so if you look at anybody's life, we have to be really careful about what are we using these God-given gifts for, because if we're using them for ourselves, if we're using them just to get ahead, that's where sin is, right? And sin brought darkness in the world, and sin brought death into the world. And so God gave us these gifts, and when they're used correctly, life is good. When we use them for our sin, ourselves, and for our sin, life is dark, and sin enters the world and death. So God said, I'm going to do something different. He sent Jesus Christ in the world, and Jesus pushed back the darkness, right? And when Jesus left and the Holy Spirit came into the world, then God began to work through something we call, and this is the second kind of gifts, they're called spiritual gifts that his followers would have. So we have natural gifts and we have spiritual gifts. Today I want to talk about what spiritual gifts are. There's a lot of misunderstanding, a lot of different thoughts on this. I want to look at one passage. It's not the only passage, but 1 Corinthians chapter 12, 1 through 11, we're going to talk about if you're a follower of Jesus and you've given your life and faith to him, you have the Holy Spirit in you, then you have spiritual gifts, and you need to know that, and you know how to use them, and what they're for, and what God's purposes are behind them. So let's read this passage, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, 1 through 11. And Paul starts this. He's writing to a church in Corinth. He says this: "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be uninformed." Some versions say ignorant, which means you just don't know. He says, "I want you to know. I don't want you to be ignorant or uninformed about spiritual gifts." He wrote in verse 2, "You know that when you were pagans," which are people who don't know God, "you were led astray to mute idols. However you were led," he said, "some people have the natural gift of leadership, and they pulled you away from God." And you see this constantly. People with the natural gift of leadership, they pull people away from God toward idols, things that are not good for us, things that take the place of God. He said, "You were led that way. You were led that way. So let me fix that." Next verse: "Therefore, I want you to understand that no one speaking the Spirit of God ever says Jesus is accursed, and no one can say Jesus is Lord except in the Holy Spirit." You can't make a decision about Jesus except with the Holy Spirit. Verse 4: "Now, there are a variety of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of service, but the same Lord. And there are a variety of activities, but it's the same God who empowers them all and everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. For to one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, and to another the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit. To another," in verse 9, "faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healings by the one Spirit." Verse 10, "to another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, the ability to distinguish between spirits. To another, various kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are empowered by one and the same Spirit who apportions to each one individually as he wills." There's a lot going on in there, and I kind of want to break that down and talk about it. There's some things we're going to look at, some quick facts about it. But just basically, go back to verse 7. Verse 7 is kind of the crux of the whole thing. It's kind of the explanation of the whole thing. So let's hit that first. In verse 7, he says, "Look, I want you to know this, that each gift is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good." The word manifestation is an interesting word. The original word, it simply means this: it's realized. So in other words, if people want to see God, if they want to see the Holy Spirit, the way that he is manifested is through our gifts, through God working through us, partnering with us, so that it's made real, it's made concrete, it's made visible. The original word for manifestation is the word for light. It like shines a light. It's the way that God pushes back the darkness through the gifts that he has. Now, the Holy Spirit's designed like this. You can't see the Spirit, but Jesus talks about the Holy Spirit this way. He says, "Look, you don't see the wind, you just see the effects of the wind." Same thing with the Holy Spirit in us. Sometimes we don't show the Holy Spirit except through our gifts. As you're using your spiritual gift, people say, "I see God there." They may not even recognize you, which is great, because the whole point is for people to see God. You want to shine your light in the world? Let the Holy Spirit work through the gifts he's given you. That's how it's made manifest. It's made real in people's lives because of that. One of the things we recognize today, that both Carson and Luke and the rest of the band, they all have musical abilities, right? But they also have a spiritual gift to allow us to be led in worship. It's how we connect with the throne of God. Not everybody that has the gift of music, the natural ability of music, can lead worship, right? If you don't have that spiritual gift, you're just playing an instrument. And I have seen, and you have seen probably in the world, people that can sing Christian music, but it doesn't do anything, because they're just using their natural abilities, but the Holy Spirit's not made manifest in it. And that's a huge thing, to be able to use our gifts for that. We're going to hit some just quick facts about the Spirit and how he's working through gifts on your outline. So I'm going to move through these pretty quickly based on these verses. So here's some facts about the spiritual gifts. Number one, there are multiple spiritual gifts. They're not just one. There's not just a few. There's probably about 20. In verse 4, it says there are a variety of gifts. We talk about things like wisdom, knowledge, faith, teaching, leadership. Romans 12 has a list. One of the reasons we want you to be reading the book and doing the assessment is so you can look at these gifts and go, okay, which one, two or three, do I have that God's working through me? But there are a variety of gifts, okay? If you don't know your gift, we want you to take the assessment and go, okay, help me find that. Now, let me tell you something about the assessment. It doesn't have all of them. You're not going to find all of them in assessment. Let me tell you why. Some of the gifts it talks about in here, like the gift of miracles, Let's say in the book of Acts, Paul had the gift of miracles. He was able to do things, the gift of healing. And he was able to go and the Holy Spirit worked through him. It wasn't Paul doing it. The Holy Spirit did work through him, especially on the front lines of the gospel, where the gospel went to a place for the first time and people needed to see God. He would do things and people would see it. Now, did Paul ever sit down and take an assessment? No, why not? You can't test for an assessment like that. Either God worked through you that way or he did not work through you that way. So on the assessment, you're not going to see the gift of miracles, right? There's no reason. There's no reason for any of these kinds of gifts that are like that. Now, here's the deal, though. There are things that you're going to look at and go, do I have a spiritual gift or not? Like teaching, like wisdom, discernment, mercy. That's where the assessment's going to help. Not only that, but you need to be in a group where they talk about it. They help you go, okay, I see God working in you through this gift. But just know there's a variety of them. There's over 20. And if you don't see it in the list, then call us and we'll help you walk through it. So that's a quick fact. Number two, there are multiple opportunities to use our gifts, okay? So you can use them all over the place because it says there are a variety of activities, there are a variety of services, a lot of different ways to use them. Even now this morning, all over the world, people are using their spiritual gifts in a lot of different ways. And they come out differently as well. So you go, okay, God, how do you want me to use this now? In what areas? You may have heard this illustration. It's kind of an old one, but I like it. It's basically picture a party, okay? You're at a party, and somebody comes out with a tray of drinks, okay? Can you picture that? And they come out with a tray of drinks, and they're getting right to the group that has that, and all the drinks are sitting there, and they drop it, okay? You ever been in a place like that? They drop the food. So what happens? Well, the person with the gift of mercy goes, I feel really bad. I feel really bad for the person to go up and put their arm around him. It's going to be okay. It's going to be all right. The person with the gift of knowledge walks out and go, I watched you do that. You didn't balance them right. You put too many on one side. So the reason that you did that is because you didn't see it coming. And then everybody hates the person with the gift of knowledge, right? I knew that already. Why'd you tell me that, right? But the person with mercy standing there going, it's going to be okay. The person with knowledge goes, you did it wrong. And then the person with the gift of teaching comes out and very gently says, you know, next time, just slow down a little bit, move them around. They're really nicely doing that, okay? So do it better next time. Now, what does the gift of leadership do? When the person with the gift of leadership sees that tray fall, they go, let's go. And they get everybody up and moving, right? Let's go take care of this. But everybody starts moving around. So the person with the gift of administration, what do? They go, you go get the mop. You go get the paper towels, and they begin directing people, right? We've got to organize this thing. We've got to put a plan around this thing. They talk about their plan, and they make it happen. So that's how they work. So what does the person with the gift of service do? They were the first one there, right? It's already cleaned up by finding everybody else gets to work on it, but that's how it all works. Everybody using these gifts together. Now, which one are you? Which one are you? Are you the one that dropped the tray? Is that the problem? You dropped the tray. You need everybody else. But that's why there's a multitude of opportunities to do this, right? Because we need each other. And so all over the world, God's going, I'm going to work through you in this way. And I'm going to work through you in this way. And here's another problem. It's the problem of projection. Do you know what that means? When you have the gift of mercy, you can't figure out why everybody else doesn't feel the way you do, right? Why aren't you upset at this? Well, I don't know. I just don't. A person with wisdom and knowledge, what do? They go, why can't you see this, people? It's so obvious. Can't you see it? What is about the person with service? They're going, why are you sitting around talking? Don't you see there's work to be done? Stop talking. Get to work. You know, that kind of thing. And so this projection of saying everybody should have my gift is not a healthy thing, right? Know that God gave us a lot of different gifts and a lot of different ways to use it. But there's multiple opportunities. Number three, here's one that you need to get in your heart. Every believer has a gift. And if you're reading the book, you're going to hear about jammers. And jammers are all the excuses we use to say, I can't do it. I don't have a gift. Paul wrote and says, I don't want you to be uninformed. You have a gift. Each one is given. And this is what's happening in our world, I think, in our churches. People are going, okay, let them do it. And when you don't allow the Holy Spirit to work in your life, you know what Christianity is? It's boring. And it's the drone zone. And it's the area you go, I don't feel used or useful or productive. Everybody has a gift. And when you find it and God works through you,
You go, this is amazing. Because God can use even me. So every believer has a gift. Number four, our gifts are given to us to serve others. In verse 7, it says, to each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. This is what our Heavenly Father did. He says, look, I'm going to give you a gift, but it's not for you. It's for you to give to other people. When you were a little kid, I don't know if they did this to you. This is what my mom would do. She would go, okay, you're supposed to go to Weston, who was a friend of mine when I was growing up. We're going to Weston's birthday party. We're going to go to the store and pick him out something. So you're going to come with me and we're going to pick it out. So what did I do as a kid? I picked out what I wanted. You guys ever do that? I want that one. And so as a little kid, I thought, this is really cool. We're going to buy him this present. And then we took it home. We wrapped it up. And then I had to give it to him. It's like, I don't want to give you this gift. This is my, I picked it out. I want this. I want this for Christmas. And it's like, you have to do it as a little kid. You go, here, you know, enjoy this. And he would, and these kids would enjoy that. And God says, here's a gift for you, but you don't realize it till you give it away. The gift of knowledge is not for you to figure out the world. It's for you to help other people figure out the world. The gift of service is not to serve yourself. It's to help other people. The gift of teaching is only used when you teach other people, right? The gift of music is only used when you help other people connect with Jesus. I mean, these are the kinds of things that we have to go, why do I have this gift? It's not for me. It's for everybody else, for the common good. Peter wrote about that in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10. He says this, as each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. He's playing with the word grace there. Just know the word grace is the same word as gift. He says, each one of you has received a gift. Use it for everybody else as good stewards of God's varied gifts. So he's just saying, I'm giving you a gift. God's given you a gift. Now go use it to help other people out of the gifts he's given you. That's how it works. So use our gifts for other people. Number five, the Holy Spirit decides what gifts we receive. This one's a tough one. Have you ever wanted somebody else's gift? Like, oh, wow. This is what the Christmas things when you're exchanging gifts. Everybody has a different name. I'm not going to try to name what you call yours, like white elephant gift or whatever. What's the whole point of that? Is it end up at the day where you got the gift that you really wanted, right? And we look at this and go, God, man, I really like that person's gift. I'd like to have what they have. You ever done that before? Holy Spirit, why did you give me this gift? What good is it? You know, you go, okay, God, I've got this. It just, what do I do with it? And the Holy Spirit, I gave it to you for a reason. Now I want you to go use it. But we look at people on platforms and go, wow, look at them. Look at that gift. Man, I'd love to have that. And God gives us gifts based on what the Holy Spirit needs to do in our life. So let him do that. Learn how to use the gift you've been given for his glory. Number six, the Holy Spirit empowers our gifts. And this is one of the most beautiful things about it. The Holy Spirit empowers, in other words, it's not us that it does it. When I was in seminary, I had a class that I took the same teacher twice. She was from Texas, and she was a person who came around teaching learning styles and giftedness, okay? So they bring her to my seminary. I took her twice, and I just loved it because she would say, find your gifts, talents, abilities, and their spiritual gifts, and use them. And she used an example, her office administrator. This lady traveled all over the world teaching. She had books that she produced, tapes, you know, all kinds of teaching. And she hired a lady that had the gift of administration. And this lady was really good. She kept her on the move. She kept her going places. Everything was all laid out. Everything was great. She arrived. Everything was taken care of. And this lady went on a 3-month holiday. So she hired a temp to take her place. When the temp came into the office, she goes, I can't figure anything out. Because the lady who was there had the gift of administration, but not the natural ability of administration. Do you know what that means? That office, like the filing, no one could make heads or tails of it. She knew where everything was. Do you have a kid like that in the room? You're going, how do you figure this stuff out? And they go, it's right here. It's right here, right? She had no organizational skills whatsoever that she could point to. Like nobody could walk in and take over the office, but she had the gift of administration. Why do I tell you that? Because some of you are going, I'm not good at this. And sometimes it's the whole point. Because God steps in, and when he's good at it through you, you go, it wasn't me. It is God. And that's when he shines the brightest. So when you discover that gift and people are saying, you know, you're really good at this, you're going, I think I'm terrible. And then, no, God is working through you at that moment. So the Holy Spirit empowers that. Number seven, the last one, Paul writes, he says this, no one has all the gifts, and no one gift is given to everyone. If you had all the gifts, you wouldn't need anybody else. And there's not a single gift that all of us share together. If you look at the end of this chapter, Paul ends 1 Corinthians chapter 12 with a series of rhetorical questions, right? Rhetorical questions come back with no's. So here's what he wrote at the end. He says, are all apostles? Well, no. Are all prophets? Not everybody's a prophet. Are all teachers? No. Wouldn't that be a crazy world if everybody was a teacher? Do all work miracles? No. Do all possess gifts of healing? No. Do all speak with tongues? No. Do all interpret? The answer is no to all these things. Why? Because we wouldn't need each other. And we wouldn't rely on one another. And you would be individual people doing your own thing. And God is building the body of Christ. So there's not one gift that everybody has. And there's not a single person that has all the gifts. Because God uses us as his body. I've shared this before. One of the things that drives me crazy, I love to put together puzzles. I usually have one going. It might take me months, but I have one going. And I bought three in a row that were missing a puzzle piece. I still think it was my family. I think they've hidden them somewhere. And at one, on my deathbed, they're going to go, it was me. I did it just to frustrate you. And so if it's one of you guys in the room or the one online, whatever, tell me now, because it's driving me crazy, right? But anyway, don't you hate that? You're working your puzzle, and then at the very end, there's a single puzzle piece missing. One time I had a puzzle. It was missing a piece. I was so mad. I ordered the same puzzle on Amazon. I got that one. This was one of the three. It was missing a different piece. I don't know how this works, okay? It just does. I spent a lot of money because I was so frustrated. Because what do you do when there's a puzzle piece missing? What do you do? It's the only thing that you see, right? You look at the puzzle, you don't look at the rest of it. All you see is the whole. That's it. And I think this is what happens in the church at large, right? People are using their gifts. Like, you know, here's what God's doing through me. But then there's people that haven't found it. They don't know. And that's why Paul says, I'm writing. I want you to use your gifts so that God can shine through you. And when we don't as a church, all of us, there's this big hole. And we're going, there's a big hole there. So God says, I gave you a gift. I want you to shine the light. I want you to push back against the darkness. So what are we doing this series for? We want everyone to find it. We want everyone to manifest the Spirit through the gifts. So if you're reading the book, and I think we've given them all out now, you can still get them on Amazon, and hopefully all the pages will be there, right? We want you to read chapter 2 about gifts. We want you to do the assessment. We've sent that out. We can send it out again. I think do we have the QR code? You can do that now. You have plenty of time between now. We have time between now and the next service. You have plenty of time between now and football to do the gift, all right? You go through the GPS, your gifts, passion, story. Take your time, but we want you to do that. I think we have 44 people that have done that so far. I have a list. I know who it is. I'm coming after you, right? I want you to do the test, and I want you to just go, somebody else go, is this right? What do you see in my life? Do you think I really have this gift, and where do you see it? Because we need each other, because we are not all self-smart. You know what self-smart is? Ability to see ourselves. Some people are really good at that. Some people are, like, oblivious. And the people that are really people-smart aren't always self-smart. And so we need people to pour into us, discuss it with them, pray about it, and experiment and watch. Why? So that God can be glorified. Why? So people can see God at work. Why? So lives can be transformed. Why? So you can walk into any situation and the Holy Spirit can work through you and the person in front of you who has this need, who has this thing that they need solved or this problem they're trying to get help with or this spiritual dilemma or they just spilled all the drinks at a party and they're down. They need you to let the Holy Spirit work through you for their own life. It's hugely important because God is pushing back the darkness and he wants us to join with him even in small things. Let's pray together. Father God, we just give you this time. You have gifted us in some fashion with natural abilities that you put in us from the time we were born, when you knit us together in our mother's womb. Things that only we can do. Help us to find that and do it well for your glory and for the betterment of this world. But also when we became followers of Jesus, you poured your Spirit into us, and then the Spirit wants to work through us, wants to do amazing things through us, to impact the world for the kingdom, to impact the world for Jesus Christ. And you're just waiting for us to say, use me. Show me how you want to use me. So we just surrender to you. We submit our lives to you. Use us. Start right where we are and shine the light through us. Father God, thank you for those who have already done that in our own lives, who impacted us through the spiritual gifts you gave them. And may we as a church here at Bridges and a church worldwide use our gifts so that Jesus Christ will be lifted up and the spotlight on him and his kingdom move throughout the world until it's time for him to come back. And we pray this in his name. Amen.